listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits, go to gamesense.ab.ca. And Woodley joins us. Woodley, how you doing?
I'm good. I have a friend with me in the back of the car, my dog. I'm at the vet, so I apologize for being a little late here. The appointment didn't go as planned. So
How's the dog? What's going on?
Where is she? She's got a tooth issue. She's hiding back here.
Wants to look outside. So. She's just like, give me outside, Dad. Did you have to get the tooth pulled?
No, that's coming, which also comes with a bill. Not quite as much as the time I had mine knocked out by a slap shot off the mask, but it's not going to be cheap. So we love our pets, but so I apologize, boys. It's just been things got a little wonky here.
Hey, buddy, that's all good. Well, kind of like the Oilers fans know a little bit about wonky after Saturday night. That was not pretty for them. You were telling me some numbers about, like, explain expected goals and kind of how that formula works for a goal, because it kind of explains what the environment in front of the goalie is.
Yeah, I mean, I like expected save percentage for the goalie. I think that, I mean, on a per game, at the end of the day, if you're measuring things on a per game basis, you're talking about tiny samples. And, you know, the reality is even high danger chances, they all have different values. So, like, for example, like one of the highest danger values that we have right now, and this is actually, we've talked about this before, something the Oilers used to do exceptionally on the power play with Leon sort of parked off to the bottom of the left circle, is a pass off a rebound. Like a pass off a rebound goes in 65% of the time. So if you create two passes off rebounds in a game, it's not just that you have two high danger chances, but you've got 0.65 of a goal each time. So they add up to 1.3. So two of those should be 1.3 expected goals. So that, in a nutshell, is how it works. I prefer save in small samples to look at expected save percentage from the goalie perspective, because now you're talking about sort of, you're getting a picture not just of the goals, but of the environment. Like if it's really low, it's a tougher environment. You know, and, you know, Calvin Pickard, we talked about this last year, like one of the highest expected save percentages in the league, around 902. This year it's at 865. So, you know, that is, that's low. Like your numbers are going to come down. Your raw numbers are going to come down anytime your environment gets that much harder. But 865 is like, that's bad. That's bad. I'm supposed to be a writer. I'm out of adjectives for that one. But the best example I can give you is Eric Comrie. Eric Comrie in Buffalo 3 seasons ago now had a 858 expected save percentage. And then he went through waivers a couple of times. He was the third goalie there. They'd play him in the worst games. They'd get shelled. They'd get caved in. And he always seemed to be in net for those nights. And people around the league were just like, he's not an NHL goalie. Like, literally, they wouldn't claim him off waivers. He's not an NHL goalie. In Winnipeg, with an expected closer to 900, he looks just fine as an NHL goalie. Last night in Anaheim, notwithstanding, they're doing that to a bunch of teams, especially Leo Carlson. But, like, he's been fine over the last 2 years. And that's the type of environment that we're talking about for Calvin Pickard this year. And, again, back to the same point we've made over the years. This is not a team that's supposed to be built to win on its goaltending. But when you're giving your goalies an 865 expected, you're asking them to stop bullets in their teeth. And that's not how this team is built.
What's Skinner's expected, by the way? Do you know?
I do. This is a little tougher in the car today, so give me 1 second. It's higher, and again, small sample, so you can see quite a bit of discrepancy in this. He's closer to league average, around 890. So, you know, right around league average, not outstanding. It was the reverse last year, right? Like, he was in the 880s, and Pickard was around 900. This year, Pickard's getting either the tougher starts or whatever reason, not getting the results in front of him defensively, and his environment has been much tougher overall. Again, small sample, right? Right? Like have a couple games where the team buckles down defensively, and that number can change in a hurry.
Kevin, you talked about Leon Draisaitl shooting from different areas, and you know, goalies giving up rebounds, and we all know that if you come down on a goalie and you shoot the puck in a certain area of the pad, the lower part of the pad, it's going to kick out a rebound. Like, I guess from a goalie's perspective, we know that as a player. What do you do as a goalie? Like, is there anything you can do, or is it something you can do with your stick to maybe redirect it, or an angle of the pad? Because I'm assuming if we know that, a goalie knows that as well.
Yeah, and so it all depends on where the shot's coming from, Sean. Like, if we're talking, like, down the wing outside, you should be able to control that, ideally with your stick. And this is one of the criticisms that I heard, you know, even in the draft on Yaroslav Askarov, right? Like, he used his pads so much and didn't activate his stick. It wasn't that he had bad hands in terms of saving pucks with his blocker or glove. It's that he didn't use his blocker hand to activate his stick. And if you're kicking pucks, just the natural shape of the pad, chances are you're going back into the middle on shots off the wing. And watch for this tonight, because, like, Kirill Marchenko and Voronkov are just playing video games out there. Like, as a goalie, watching them here on Saturday night against Columbus and Vancouver, and they had 10 high danger chances. There were a few rushes for Marchenko that basically had me in the fetal position up in the press box. He was putting moves on guys. But there was also a pass off pads. Very clearly deliberate off the rush, where they go off Lankinen's right pad, and Marchenko comes in and cleans up the rebound. And so, like, you could see it from a million miles away that that's exactly what he was trying to do off that rush. He didn't have a chance to score. He put the rebound in a spot where his line mate could. As a goalie, you're trying to get a stick on it. It gets tougher if they get it off the ice, like 4 inches. You know, the blade of a stick is only 4 inches tall. So if they get it 8 inches off the ice, it's a lot harder puck to control as a goaltender. And then the other thing, if you get into a high danger area as the original shooter, and Voronkov was in a pretty good spot against Lankin the other night here and against Vancouver, you get to a point where you're just trying to make the first save. Obviously, you want to control it as much as you can, but there's that fine line between, like, trying to be perfect and just trying to stop it. A narrower butterfly, if you don't kick the leg out, if you sort of push with your knee and sort of, instead of having the pad flushed and square to the middle of the ice, a little bit narrower and pushing out, man, if you miss, it looks bad, it can go in. But if you get it that way, it pushes it into the corner instead of back out into the middle. Obviously, as you said, using the stick and just putting yourself in a position deeper in the net where, you know, Lankinen was aggressive on that rush, and so he didn't have a chance to recover across. You make that save 2 feet further back in your crease, and you're no longer having to dive, you know, something we've talked about with Stu. You're no longer having to dive head first across it on the second chance. If it's off the rush, like outside on the wings, I've seen goalies practice taking a shot off their, let's say coming down the right wing, and you shoot it off their inside pad, which is their right pad. There are goalies that are actually can get good enough at it on a low shot to take the boot of the pad, so the part that's just over the top of the skate, mm-hmm. and actually, instead of hitting it with the top part of the pad that puts it in the middle, have it hit the boot and kick right back towards the shooter. Like, keep it on the same side of the rebound. I've seen goalies work on that. But again, that's got to be sort of a shot really off the wing, low danger, along the ice. As soon as you get into dangerous areas, your instinct is just make that first save, as opposed to, boy, I've got time here to process this and make sure I control this rebound perfectly.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Jet Greaves is going to start tonight. Him and Merz Likens have basically split even 50-50, seven starts each. They faced the most shots of any goaltending tandem. And shots doesn't always mean great scoring chances at all, but their penalty kill numbers are brutal as a team, Kevin. And a lot of times people will tell your goalie's got to be your best penalty killer in situations because you're going to give up good looks. It's just a fact. It's 5-on-4. What do you make of the Blue Jackets' 5-on-5 numbers that are pretty good, but their special teams both, and so I want to talk maybe more about their PK, but their PK numbers are just awful.
Yeah, and their goalies have actually been really good. Now, they're both, each of them, Greaves and Merz Likens, are coming off probably, I don't know if it's their worst performance of the year, but down performances, right? Like Greaves in Calgary on Kadri's 1,000 game night, and Merz Likens here, like the one that goes in. I mean, it's Brock Besser from the dot, and elite shooters can pick spots, but it looked tough because it goes off with 5 minutes left in the game in a 3-3 game. It goes off the glove, off the shoulder, and trickles into the net. Their PK numbers obviously aren't good overall. Their PK numbers in terms of, you know, underlying the quality that those guys are facing, 26th in the league, or sorry, 32nd in the league. So dead last in terms of what they're giving up. This isn't the goalies not bailing out a decent penalty kill. Okay. This is the worst penalty kill in the league, asking too much of its goaltenders. And like I said, like, even with below the high standards they've set, quality starts the last time out, these are still two goalies who, if you, you know, filter it for goalies that have seen at least 100 chances on this season, you know, Merz Likens is easily inside the top 10, and Greaves isn't far behind him. And again, not just on the PK, but overall, their expected save percentage is well below the league average. Merzlikins is .880, Greaves is .885. They're both outperforming it by a significant margin. As a matter of fact, like, it's not going to happen because he doesn't have enough experience and he hasn't had been in the playoffs in the National Hockey League. But when you look at, you know, the list of Canadian goaltenders, like, number one is Logan Thompson. Number two is Jack Greaves right now. And every time this kid's been in the NHL, he's had success. He's learning how to do it on a night in, night out basis. I think it's a good partnership because he doesn't have to be the every night guy going back and forth with him and Merzlikins. And he's been like, he's been what he's been in the past. Like, every time he's up here, he just outperforms his environment. And there's a few things I'm watching in that regard, not just the Olympics, because I do think that's a real long shot. But also, like, here's another six-footer. Here's another six-foot goalie in an era where we keep talking about the six-foot-five goalies who can skate, who can move in a game that is so dynamic transitionally in east-west. Those guys that can move, that can skate, I don't care if they're not six-foot-five. They're having success, and a lot of them are near the top. Like, the guys up near the top of the NHL are largely guys who are 6'1", 6'2", 6', not 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". It's really interesting to see this trend, and, you know, something I've been watching for a while, and Greaves is continuing to sort of build the case that, you know, it's something other teams should maybe be watching for as well.
Kevin, I was curious to get your thoughts. I don't know if you've seen it, but the Montreal lost to New Jersey 4-3 in overtime, and the young goalie, is it Jacob Dobbs there? Was quite emotional at the end of the game, quite upset with himself. You know, it was his first loss. You know, the amount of pressure that these guys put on themselves. Like, what are your thoughts as a goalie, you know, a goalie coach, former goalie, when you see someone that upset? I mean, obviously nobody's going to be perfect, but, you know, how would you approach that maybe as a goalie coach?
Well, I mean, it's tough. Like, first off, those who can't do coach, those who can't do or coach, they talk about it on the radio. I am the latter. So, not a coach, definitely. But you do see that emotion on the sleeve. Like, at some level, you don't mind it, but you worry about at what point does it become too much. And you don't want to show it publicly, right? And Jakub Dobiš is a really young guy. He's had a really great season. You know, his head coach has talked, you know, I think probably leading up to that start about how, like, Sam Montembeault's struggling, right? Like, he's better than he has been this year, but the numbers are just not great right now. And yet the head coach is talking about he's our guy. He's our number one guy. So maybe Dobiš puts a little more pressure on himself, despite being 6-0 to start the season, to continue to be perfect. Those are things you have to worry about. Now, Jakub is emotional. You know, there's that thing about liking to win or hating to lose. I think he might be a kid that hates to lose. As long as he doesn't take it into the next day. You can have a conversation about, hey, we don't want to show this too much. If you show emotion on the ice, then teams think they can get to you and get under your skin. Mm-hmm. But then the biggest thing would be to me, does he reset by the next time he hits the ice? Not just even in a game, but the next morning when he comes into practice, or is he still being hard on himself? Because, man, this game is hard enough if you're not beating up on yourself as well. I do know he works with a goalie mindset guy, actually Pete Fry, the goalie mindset guy, is like actually in his title. And he does a lot of visualization. We've talked to him about it. So he's very actively thinking about how he presents, how he manages his emotions, how he manages his reactions, how he resets within a game. He's got little triggers that help him get back and focus on the puck. He thinks about these things consciously. Okay. And if the emotion he's expressing is too much or goes outside of a comfort zone that they have, it will be addressed, talked about, and corrected.
All right. Kev, what about the Flyers goaltending, who the Oilers face on Wednesday?
You know, I got to say, I was not convinced of their decision on Dan Vladar, like, to go pursue him as an unrestricted free agent. Tough environment for him in Calgary. We know they weren't a great team, and they relied on exceptional goaltending to get through it. Dustin Wolf, we've talked about it before, how exceptional he was last year. Should have been the Vezina conversation. And that's what they needed. And so when Vladar would have to go in every 10 days or every 2 weeks, and they also gave him some really tough starts. But just looking at the numbers and the expected, like, he was below. Like, he would give them stretches, but at the end of the year, he was always below his environment. He was below expected. Yep. And so I wondered if he could be a guy that could carry the mail. And Philly clearly saw something, and so far they're right. Now, they've been a good defensive environment. Rick Tocchet in his first year, much like he was in Vancouver, has cleaned that up. So his expected is, you know, 7 points above league average. But he's outperforming it at a level that puts him right up there with Thatcher Demko and Jack Greaves, we just talked about, Freddie Anderson, Lucas Dostal. Like, he is a top 10, you know, for guys that have played as much as he has, goalie in the NHL right now. So Vladar's been really good. Sam Harrison, not so much, a little bit below expected. But again, small samples, much tougher environment, almost 20 points lower than his playing mate. So I don't know if that is a team not playing for him or in an early part of the season. Maybe he's getting the tough starts, the back-to-backs, the nights where the team is tired. For whatever reason, Harrison's had a tougher workload and hasn't lived up to it. Vladar has been exceptional in his minutes. So, you know, if you're getting Vladar, you're getting the tougher of the two.
Okay. We won't know, obviously, until later on in the week. Lastly, Spencer Knight is off to an unreal start. The Americans got pretty deep goaltending depth. Do you think Spencer Knight gets some consideration for Team USA Olympics?
Well, I mean, if we're going based on performance, he certainly should, right? Like, this is a guy who's won World Juniors for them. He was in the National Hockey League at a really young age, straight out of college. Obviously had some hiccups in terms of needing to take some time away from the game. Not related to the game. But here's the thing about Spencer. Like, we talk about these numbers. When I watch Spencer Knight play, it's like a how-to video, right? Like, the technical stuff is just bang on. And I know he works really hard on that aspect. And you're like, I could make a movie out of this and sell it to kids. This is how you should play the game. But the results haven't been there. Even adjusting, and tough to go from Florida, where they're a defensive wagon, to Chicago last year, where defense was an option, few exercised. So they're better this year defensively. This is the first year outside of the early start in Florida where the numbers really match the eye test.
Okay.
And so, you know, he's got an athletic ability to make dynamic saves if you need them, but he's got a foundation where he's constantly putting himself in position to, even when he doesn't have time to react, he's there to get hit. There was a number of chances here against the Vancouver Canucks who just absolutely were all over them for two periods, 10 high danger through two. Couldn't beat Knight, losing the third period. Bunch of stuff like low high plays, pop passes from below the goal line, just above the crease. Evander Kane actually had, looks like he's starting to sort of find his form, and he got a number of chances in tight. And every time, Knight, in and off his post, boom, perfect position, hits him in the shoulder, you know, gets a piece of it with his elbow, combination of technique and reactivity. I love his game. Right now, amongst the Americans, like, we all know who's going to be there in terms of Connor Hellebuck. When I look down the list of adjusted save percentage, Spencer Knight is sixth in the National Hockey League right now, just a couple of spots behind Connor Hellebuck. And for all the push for, you know, Thatcher Demko here in Vancouver to be on that team, right now Spencer Knight's outperforming him as well. So if there are question marks about who's going to be in that crease, at the very least, this young man warrants consideration. I think his age, too. Like, if you know Hellebuck's your guy, like, you got to look to the future, too. And Spencer Knight's a guy who could be your guy in future years and might benefit from the experience.
Kev, great stuff, buddy. We hope your dog does well and the tooth removal goes okay as well. Appreciate your time.
I appreciate the patience, guys. She just got her head out the window here, so she's happy for now, and that's all that matters.
There you go. That's Kevin Wood.